In at least a dozen U.S. cities, wages in June jumped up by $150 a week. It's the business news headlines for Wednesday, the third day of August. Thanks, everybody, for being with us again today. In other news, after back-to-back lousy days on Wall Street, stocks today surged. Increased pressure on mortgage rates is a good thing for folks seeking to buy. The data says fewer people are headed to Walmart. Speaking of data, in a related story, Walmart has started to cut employees. Equifax and wrong credit reports is a story you've got to hear about. Tyson Foods is ignoring a subpoena about meat gouging. We've got the Wall Street Report, and CEOs, although flush with cash, are now cutting swag and business dinners. For the interview, you'll meet a small business founder from the ag community, Pat Russell of Russell's Tractor Parts, based in Scottsboro, Alabama. But first, the news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers. At ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome once again to the Wednesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and yes, you can follow us on Twitter. You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that wages in at least a dozen smaller metropolitan cities grew by $150 a week in June. Bloomberg is reporting that two of the economy's high-income coastal hubs saw a move in the opposite direction, with the San Jose and New York City metro areas posting declines in average weekly pay. So where are wages going up the most? Well, here's an example. In Wenatchee, Washington, the average weekly wage jumped up by 40% from $633 a week to $887 a week. That's an increase of $254. Other cities, such as Greenville, North Carolina, Sebring, Florida, and Pine Bluff, Arkansas, saw weekly wages increase by over 27%. The data comes from a survey of establishments which defines jobs by the location of employers rather than where their workers are based. And some of the shifts likely reflect business relocations triggered by the pandemic. Among the 396 metro areas analyzed, more than three-quarters saw an increase in average weekly pay over the period due to tight labor markets and a rapidly rising cost of living. Meanwhile, San Jose, Sunnyvale, Santa Clara in California, and the New York, Newark, New Jersey area, well, they both saw slight drops in average weekly pay to $1,700 in California and $1,226 in the New York, Jersey area. Following 2 days of getting beaten up, Wall Street rallied following some positive economic news. Economic data showed the U.S. services sector picked up in July, helped by at least temporarily relieving some concerns that a recession was unavoidable. The ISM Services PMI, that's a measure of purchasing managers' reports, hit 56.7% last month in a surprise jump from June's reading of 55.3 as supply chain issues are apparently easing. Meanwhile, St. Louis Federal Reserve President James Bullard also said that he did not think the U.S. economy was in a recession. He did that in a televised interview with CNBC. Meanwhile, oil fell again today, with West Texas Intermediate crude priced under $91 a barrel. Yes, stocks did rally, and I'll have those numbers for you in just a bit. Well, finally, some good news coming out of the housing sector. Fortune is reporting that over the past week, mortgage rates have declined and declined fast. As of Tuesday, the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate sat at 5.05%, down from June when mortgage rates peaked at 6.28%. Those falling mortgage rates give sidelined homebuyers immediate relief. For example, if a borrower in June took out a $500,000 mortgage at a rate of 6.28%, they would pay $3,088 a month in principal and interest. But at 5.05%, that payment would be just $2,699, And over the course of a 30-year loan, that's a savings of $140,000. Check out the mortgage rates if you're looking. Some new data just released indicates that foot traffic at Walmart is down. The List is reporting there are more than 10,500 Walmart stores worldwide. And while it may seem like there's a Walmart on every corner, that recent data shows that shoppers have not been visiting the discount store as often as they once had. Based on the data collected by the List, foot traffic at Walmart took a major dive to less than 9 million visitors around May of 2022, a drastic change from the nearly 14 million visitors recorded just a month earlier. Visitor counts continued to fall the following July, with numbers falling below 8 million. This dip in shoppers illustrates Walmart's lowest amount of monthly shoppers in 2 years, with fewer people shopping at Walmart this summer than in the spring of 2020 at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the Washington Post, shoppers emerging from lockdown became less interested in spending money on goods and more interested in services and experiences, leaving stores with an excess of inventory. It's also worth noting that Walmart's foot traffic fell drastically during the same time that record-breaking inflation began, severely affecting consumer spending habits. So now you know better why big sales are happening at Big Box. In a related story, Walmart has confirmed that it is laying off workers. CNBC is reporting that Walmart has begun to lay off corporate employees about a week after the company slashed its profit outlook and warned that consumers had pulled back on discretionary spending. In a statement to CNBC, the retail giant described the layoffs as a way to better position the company for a strong future. Ann Hatfield, a Walmart spokesperson, declined to say how many workers would be affected and in what divisions have experienced those cuts. She said Walmart is still hiring in parts of its business that are growing, including supply chain, e-commerce, health and wellness, and advertising sales. She said, quote, "Shoppers are changing, consumers are changing, we're doing some restructuring to make sure that we are properly aligned," end quote. Walmart, by the way, is the country's largest private employer with nearly 1.6 million workers in the United States. In what has to be a major issue for millions of Americans, it seems that credit reporting agency Equifax sent out erroneous credit reports. CBS News is reporting that the Wall Street Journal broke the story that millions of Americans were affected by Equifax's error, with some scores changing as much as 20 points in either direction. Now, that's enough for some prospective borrowers to be rejected for a loan. According to the paper, a small number of people went from having no credit score to having a score in the 700s or vice versa. The incorrect scores were sent to Ally Financial, JPMorgan Chase, and Wells Fargo, among other lenders, says the Journal. Equifax is blaming it all on a coding error and says that underlying credit information did not change. But, hey, that car loan? What happens if you're being investigated for gouging consumers and the attorney general sends your company a subpoena? What would you do? Maybe just ignore it? Reuters is reporting that Tyson Foods, one of the largest U.S. meat producers, is refusing to comply with a subpoena for a civil probe into possible price gouging during the COVID-19 pandemic. Letitia James, the attorney general for the state of New York, asked a state judge in Manhattan to require Tyson to turn over materials, including contractual terms, prices, and profit margins for its sales of meat to New York retailers from December of 2019 to April of 2022. James says that Tyson stopped complying after providing limited information based on the Springdale, Arkansas-based company's novel and unfounded argument that New York's price gouging law did not apply to meat imported from outside the state. Stay tuned. Wall Street rallied today on some solid economic news, that and strong profit forecasts coming from PayPal and CVS Health also helped. The Dow ended the day up by a whopping 416 points to end the day at 32,812, while the NASDAQ picked up 319 points to end the session at 12,668, and the S&P 500 added 63 points to finish the day at 4,155. After 2 days of selling, investors were back to business today, and some are now suggesting the economic picture for the U.S. may be better than what had been predicted. Some are even saying we may be back in a bull market. But then again, there's always tomorrow. And finally, there is this. In what some are suggesting is a knee-jerk reaction, CEOs in several areas are clamping down on their employees. Now remember that many Fortune 500 CEOs are being paid 300 times what their average workers make. But still, cost-cutting is happening. It's all about recession fears. Meta and Google are among companies that have told their workers to ramp up output as decades-high inflation and the prospect of further economic slowdown prompts companies to look for ways to cut costs. A conference board survey found that most CEOs think a recession is coming, and everything from free swag to business dinners is being reconsidered to keep costs down. Other companies are slashing business trips and work parties, limiting the perks they previously used to attract people in a tight labor market. Other companies are introducing cuts in the form of slimmed-down office space and a reduction of consultancy spending. Our take? You know, nothing says panic other than crying panic. All right, stay with us for the interview as Pat Russell, an entrepreneur from Scottsboro, Alabama, talks about his ever-growing business in the ag sector. Yeah, we love helping to tell these small business stories, and that is what you've got coming up next.